Excuse me. So today's topic, well, the topic that I have in my mind right now is attachments, detachments. Okay, hold on. So it's attachments, detachments, neurosis, codependency, and the roots. All those things. You probably have heard of one or another, or maybe you've heard of all of them. But at this point in my life, I researched the heck out of all these things. I like to think. I like things that make me think. And I love to learn. Unfortunately, a lot of things I learn the hard way. Yes, I am that guy. So, I've been going to NA classes, which is Neurotic Anonymous classes. I've been going to codependency classes. I've been seeing a life coach. I'm trying to put a very strong circle around me for life. Not for one particular area of my life, but for my whole life. I guess the only part that I'm not addressing is one of the most important parts, but at some point I will address it. I hope I address it. And that's my spiritual part. That's my connection with the Creator, with God. And maybe I should start there, but again, I'm not perfect. I'm far away from perfect. You know, I think if I'm an example at something, is the example of what the hell not to do. So that's why I'm able to talk about these things, because, you know, somebody could say, well, you're not perfect. Well, what are you going to tell me about love? Or what are you going to tell me about codependency? Or what are you going to tell me about neurosis or addictions? What are you going to say? You know, you have no title. It's like you lost your family. You lost your wife. You've lost a lot. So my response to that would be, well, that's why. That's why I'm able to tell you all these things, because I learned the hard way. You know, I lived it. I'm a risk taker. And I'm impulsive. And I'm neurotic. And I'm codependent. And I'm an addict. Addict for love. Addict for pleasure. Addict for life. Yeah. So there's imbalances in my life. Therefore, I'm able to talk by experience and say what I'm going to say. Okay. About 24 years ago, and then 22 years ago, on and off, I struggled with drugs. I struggled with cocaine and meth. I can't say really drinking, because that was occasional, and even now it's occasional. But when I did go through all that, it was really hard. And I think the hardest part was not that, you know, like, didn't have money for the drugs or couldn't afford any. That wasn't the problem. Or the problem wasn't, like, how it made me feel when I was coming down. I mean, when you're up there, you feel great. I mean, you feel like you won $100 million and you're just in a great mood because you're in love. And, you know, like, all these cool things happen and it's your birthday. I mean, you have all those feelings. You have all those fake feelings in your mind. But they're not real. It's just an illusion. But it's a beautiful illusion when you're high. It's a beautiful illusion when you're so high and you assume at the point, at that time, that you're not going to come down. But you do come down. And when you come down, I mean, the higher you go up, the harder the fall is. So that wasn't the hard part either. I mean, because you get really... you're really nervous when you're coming down. You get, like, you get scared and nervous. Your stomach starts hurting and start kind of, like, shaking. And you just have anxiety. And it takes a few days out of your life because, you know, if you get high today, if you get do coke or meth today, you're not going to be okay for the next day. Heck no. It would have to take a few days. But that's not even the hard part. That's not even the hard part. You know what the hard part was for me? This is from personal experience. The hard part for me was the same life pattern that I have now, and that addict, you know, people that have been addicts or anybody that's attached to anything, we have. Ready for this? It's the feeling of, one more time, I'll stop next time. I'll just do it one more time. And then after this, yeah, that's it. No more. You even get to the point where, I got to the point where a few times, I don't even know how many times, I threw my drugs away. I threw them away. I flushed them in the toilet. I said, this is it. No more. And a few hours after, it's like, no, wait, why? You know? That codependency that you have at the point, that's the bitch right there. That one's it. That's it. It's not even the shaky feeling that you get. It's not even the nervousness, all those other bad things. It's straight out. It's kind of like being in a, what do you call it? Hamster wheel. You know, it's like you turn one turn in the hamster wheel, and you're like, I just do one more time, and then one more time, and one more time. You just assume that at some point you're just going to get tired, and you're going to say, yeah, well, that's it. I already put enough on it. But it doesn't happen. Once you're in the hamster wheel, it takes a bold movement, a bold decision, second incision, you know, like, that's why they call it decision. Decision comes from incision. And don't ask me if it comes from the Greek or it comes from the freaking Taliban. I don't know who the heck. I don't know where it came from. But my life coach told me one day, and he's a philosopher, so he knows his stuff better than I do. My point is that he said, a decision comes from, let's say Greek, right? Yeah, I don't freaking know. It's like, it comes from the Greek word of incision. Decision comes from incision. And incision means that you cut. You completely cut. And in the process, when you cut, it hurts. It bleeds. You cry. You want to die. When you make an incision. So therefore, when you make a decision, you're deciding to make an adjustment to stop something, to cut something. I've never heard of any decision or any incision that is not painful. I have tattoos in my hands and my fingers all the way up to my arm. You know what? And it's hurt every freaking time. It's like a little mini incision, mini pain, whatever. But every time that, you know, people get plastic surgery, they go through pain. You know, there's a dumb old saying, no pain, no gain. Yeah, whatever. But when you live it, guess what? That shit is not funny no more. It's not just a dumb saying. It's real, it's raw, and it fucking hurts, and you want to die. So anyways, not to get sidetracked or anything, but that was the hard part for me of doing the drugs. It was the, I'll do it later, I'll stop later, or one more time. That's the part that gets you. The one more time that never comes. Like the Metallica song, the day that never comes. That's what it is. It's like self-inflicted wounds, you know, and it's really stupid because you're really messing up your body and your spirit and everything, and it's all self-inflicted, you know, like you're doing it to yourself. But the chemicals in there make you depend and depend and depend to the point where you can't even fucking function. You can't even go to work. I heard people say, you know what? That somebody could lose their, what do you call it? That somebody could lose their job, you know, through drugs or through an addiction. And you could. But it's not like you lose it because you can't afford the drugs and you're spending all your money. No. Part of part of the reason why people lose their, you know, everything is because their psychology gets so screwed up that they can't function. The depression gets in there so much that they can't function to go to work. They can't function to comb their hair or to wash their clothes or to pay rent, pay their bills. That's what it is. It affects your psychology. It's not that you go out there and you know
put all your savings on drugs. I mean, some do, but
I think where it screws up the high majority of people is because it messes up their psychology. You know, a lot of the things that we go through, a lot of the problems that we have, a lot of the heavy problems that we have,
I would like to say 80% of them are in our
mind. The other 20% are physical, are real,
are spiritual.
But the 80% are just ideas that cripple us in our mind. So anyways, an attachment could be an attachment to anything, an attachment to a person, a bad relationship, drugs, alcohol. I mean, there's so many. Social media. You know, I got off social media, and I'm
going to confess something. This is pretty deep for me. You know, I was even ashamed to bring it up. But I know I'm not the only one, you know.
As an addict or ex-addict or... No, actually, I shouldn't even say ex-addict. I would like to say ex-addict, but I'm not. So what happens is, you know, social media,
like, we're doing something constantly to block our reality, to not think. So guess what we do? We turn on the radio, or we turn on, you know, our music. We have a playlist.
And when we're not doing that, we'll go on social media. I mean, we'll get to the point where you're in the restroom and you're doing social media.
You're just constantly, 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 constantly pushing the snooze button on reality. Being alone, they say it's good for you, and some say it's bad for you. I think it's bittersweet. I think it's bittersweet because a lot of the ideas that I've had, a lot of bad ideas that I've had, I came in moments where I had nothing to do. So, like my life coach said, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And it's the truth. When you're doing nothing, the neurosis kicks in. It kicks in when you start making really poor decisions. Anyways, we'll continue the chat. I hope you're enjoying it so far.
This is part one. Hello. Just so everybody knows, I just did a segment of the same thing. Neurosis, codependency, and addictions. And I did it for about 30 minutes. I added music to it. And then I pressed the wrong button. And I deleted it. Yes. I deleted it. So now I got to remember everything I talked about. Jesus of heaven. Stand by. Okay, so I'm gonna try to remember everything I said, because again, I deleted the last 30 minutes of audio that I had recorded. It was so good, but whatever, it's life, right? So it was about the same thing that as the previous segment. It was a continuation on addictions, neurosis, and codependency. The more and more I research into this, I like researching this, because there's not a lot of awareness in neurosis. I mean, you talk to somebody anywhere, and ask them about neurosis, they're gonna be like, "What? What is that?" They look at you like, you know, like, "What? You're talking about a crazy person that's in a mental place or whatever." That's like the face that they give you. Nobody talks about it.
You know, codependency, more people are aware of that. You know, I hear more and more people talk about codependency, so I get surprised. Addictions, of course, people talk about that. But the root of all of it, all of this is, again, the neurosis part. The guy that invented Al-Anon, or Alcoholics Anonymous, he made a big movement in this, you know, for Alcoholics Anonymous movement. But guess what? That guy died of emphysema, which is cancer to the lungs. So what he did, he just switched one addiction for another. You see? I mean, he didn't die of alcoholism, but he did die of lung cancer, which was caused from smoking, because he was a smoker. So the root of it, he never attacked the root of it. He never attacked the neurosis part. He attacked the alcoholism. And I think that, I mean, how do you say? People talk about peace and about happiness. And I think happiness, I don't have it yet, right? But I have happy moments in my life, but that's it. But I think the completion and being whole and happiness is going to come from not having any attachments to nothing. The Bible calls it sin. All these other books call it different things. They call it, like the Buddhist tradition calls it attachments. And it's all the same thing. The Bible says that we're not punished for our sins, but we're punished by our sins. It's the same thing, same concept. You know, it's not like we're punished for taking drugs or we're punished for drinking beer or alcohol. But those things themselves, our actions, punish us. But everything stems from neurosis. So if you have a failed marriage, excuse me, like me, or if you have a failed relationship, like me, or if you have failed in any area of your life, the root of it is some kind of imbalance in your life caused by neurosis. You know, if you're one of these people that are extra clean, extra organized, and everything has to be perfectly straight, if you research that, that's neurosis. That's not taking it like a normal human being. Or if you're extra sloppy, extra dirty, and you just your house is a mess all the time, and your car is a mess, and your life is a mess, that's neurosis also. So if you're in a relationship with a person that has high levels of neurosis in their life, it's gonna affect the spouse. It's gonna affect, you know, the other couple, the other person, because they're living a normal life, and here you come with your imbalances, or vice versa. You know, you're the normal one, quote unquote, and this other person is like extra clean, or extra dirty, or extra rude. I mean, there's some kind of imbalance. So, I blame it on that. So that's just me. That's just my Ernie Figueroa research that I've done. But you know, it makes sense. Talking about neurosis, it's very it's intriguing for me. I like it. I like it because nobody talks about this. You know, I've gone to codependency classes, Neurotics Anonymous classes. I've gone to AA classes. I've gone to all kinds of classes. I've heard men talk about how they lost businesses, how they lost all their life earnings for gambling, for alcohol, for drugs. And I lost mine for codependency. So what's the difference? It's like, I mean, what the difference is, the poison. You know, you're taking one poison or another poison, or the red poison or the orange poison. Poison is poison. So all those things that I just mentioned, the drugs, the alcohol, the codependency, those vicious cycles, they're all poisons. They're all poisons. And they all stem from one thing, from neurosis. From that idea that you get when you're by yourself. And you're like, what should I do? Should I call him? Or, what should I do? Should I go for some drinks? Or, you know. It's usually when you're doing nothing, then the neurosis kicks in. So the busier you are in working on yourself, on something that builds you, the more you deflect the neurosis from you. The book says that for neurosis, for your ego and neurosis to disappear, is that you have to take off the greed, the selfishness. Once the selfishness gets removed from your life, the neurosis leaves. Isn't that amazing? It makes a lot of sense. Because our ego always wants me, me, me. Anything for me. Everything for me. The best for me. Quality time for me. I mean, you're just imbalanced as heck. So that imbalance causes friction with your couple, with your children, with your spouse. So I blame a lot of stuff on neurosis. Like I say, the Bible calls it sin. Other books call it different things. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Oh, sorry about that. I am sick today, by the way. I've been sick for 2 days. I have the flu. On a hot day, which is not fun. And on top of all that, I can't find my keys. So I cannot find my keys. And I had to break into my car. I had to break into one of my trucks. Because I thought they were inside of there. So I messed up my door handle thingy. And it was like 100 degrees outside. And I was just like, wow. So once I opened it, and I was looking for the keys. The keys were not even there. So anyways, that's another story for another day. But I will keep you posted if I found my keys or not. So anyways, if you see a person in your family or in your close circle that's struggling with drug addiction, with alcoholism, or with gambling, or with other, or with women, with men, or with both, I don't know. That's not their problem. That's their own, that's their escape. That's all that is. The real problem is the neurosis, is those patterns of how we think. I've seen families destroyed over and over, including, you know, my family that I lost because of my life decisions. But if you trace it back down to something, it wasn't even alcohol in my experience. It wasn't drugs. It was bad life decisions. But if you really micro analyze everything, it's from neurosis. You know, we just can't deal with being alone. There's always something. We always gotta feel something with something. We can't stand being alone. When we're alone, you know, we have all these questions in life of why could have, why didn't it work out? Or I should have done this, or I should have done that. Or maybe if I would have been there earlier. I mean, you have all these questions. So according to the books that I'm reading, it says for neurosis to leave, for ego to leave, you have to stop being selfish. When you stop being selfish, the ego leaves. You can't have both. You cannot receive good doing bad. And when our ego acts, when our neurosis acts, it's some kind of a selfish act of something that's going to bring back some kind of it's going to bring some kind of consequence. So anyways, you know, I'm going to continue recording this some other time because I'm losing my voice. I wish I wouldn't have deleted the other episode because it was perfect. But it's okay though. I'll start taking notes and I'll give you guys better content. But all these things that I'm telling you is stuff that I lived. You know, I learned the hard way. And I just want to share these things with you, you know? Because there's heavier things going on in life, but you don't know. I mean, you would think, you take them as normal, you know? I mean, you talk to a person, a good friend of yours, and the friend of yours is gorgeous and she has all these successes in life and everything, but you hear her talk, see how she treats people, see how she treats humans, see how she interacts, how everything's so exaggerating, everything's so dramatic, and she's the victim, and all these, you know, stuff that comes from her vocabulary is always, never, all the time, forever. Those are unreal. And that person right there, with all her nice Bentleys and Mercedes and nice house and nice business and all these things, guess what? Neurotic. And at some point, the neurosis is going to take her down. It has to. Because you cannot do bad and expect good. It will always, for all these human existence, since the beginning of time, anybody that's tried taking advantage an unbalanced life, they never get away with it. Never, ever, ever. So if you've been in a toxic relationship, if you've been in a codependent relationship, it's because somebody was being selfish at some point. Whether it be you or the other person. The selfishness caused neurosis to appear, which is your ego. And then some kind of imbalance, another imbalance in life, whether it be unfaithfulness, whether it be drugs, whether it be gambling, whether it be something, whether it be violence, whether it be verbal abuse, some kind of imbalance. But it all stems down from neurosis / ego / oh my God, I'm losing my voice. / from Guns N' Roses. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. You get the point. So anyways, there's a lot of broken families, including mine. There's a lot of violence out there. There's a lot of bad things in life out there. And unfortunately, it has nothing to do with drugs or alcohol. But it does have to do with selfishness. It does have something to do with our egos, with our greed. Because we want to feel good. We want to have peace, but we don't care about everybody else's peace. I learned a lot the hard way. I wish that I was, you know, those kind of people that I learned by reading a book. Unfortunately, I've learned the hard way a lot of these life lessons. I don't know if I mentioned it in this episode, but about 24 years ago, 24, 22 years ago or so, I struggled with cocaine. And that was hard to leave it behind. You know, because I didn't, it's not that I liked it, I needed it. That was the difference. You get to a state that you need it. And if you're in a toxic relationship, at first you like it, you love it, but then you need it. Even if it costs you your family, even if it costs you your business, even if it costs you everything you ever worked for, you need it. Even if you see yourself bleeding, you need it. Even if you cry yourself to sleep, you need it. Even if you've been cheated on, you need it. Even if you've been, you know, beat up or, you know, domestic violence, you need it. You know, you hear all these relationships or you hear these stories of, you know, the husband beating the wife and she keeps going back. She keeps going back. That is the same pattern of the cocaine addiction. That's the same pattern of alcohol. That is the same pattern of heroin. That is the same pattern of meth. But that pattern is called codependency. So what difference does it make What difference does it make if you're addicted to cookies, you're addicted to heroin, you're addicted to alcohol, if at the end you can lose everything, including your family, including everything you ever had? What is the freaking difference if you lose everything? The only thing that changes is the poison. That's all it is. But it's the same pattern. Same destructive pattern. Same destructive cycle. It all has its good times. It all has its middle times. And it all has its bad times. And then it goes back up to the honeymoon state. Including the drugs. Including the alcohol. Including all this gambling. Everything. It's a circle. It keeps repeating itself. So what is the difference if you got divorced by unfaithfulness, by drugs, because of alcohol, because of lies? I mean, if you lost, you lost. But the root of it is somebody was being selfish. It could be you or it could be the other person. My answer for me, it was me. I was a selfish person. I was a self-destructive, selfish person. And I lost everything. I admitted it. I don't hide anything. I'm not proud, but I don't hide. That's how I know. That's how I could talk about all these things. I could relate to all these things because, again, I relate to the drug part from back 22 years ago. And I remember how I felt, how nervous I felt of not having that drug. And I also been in two codependent relationships in my life that I could tell you, they might have a knife in your throat, but you still feel like you love them. What kind of sick person does that? What kind of sick person puts a, you know, a weapon against you and they say they love you? And what kind of person stays after they did that? After unfaithfulness? What kind of people stay in those relationships? Well, I'll tell you what kind of people. People that are codependent. It's like the victim and the prey. They both need each other. You know, they hate me, but don't leave me. And the other guy, the other person needs to. Anyways, I don't want to get into that. We'll talk about that in another episode or another segment. But you get the point. What difference does it make? If he lost, he lost. But if you trace it down, it was because somebody was being selfish. Somebody was being selfish. They only thought about themselves. Their ego got bigger. Neurosis kicks in. And then an escape happens. But anyways, that's what I have to say today. I'm losing my voice. Oh, it feels like I'm losing it, right? And keep commenting. Send me messages. Let me know how you guys like these things. This is not the only things I'm going to talk about, by the way. There's all kinds of stuff that I want to talk about. I have so much. I mean, if you personally know me, you know I love talking. I love talking philosophy, life. All the things that people don't usually talk about, I like to talk about. I love astrology, even though I don't know much about it. Like I said, I wish I did. But anybody that talks about astrology, like I'm all ears. I enjoy astrology. Like talking about conspiracy theories and about facts. I like talking about cryptocurrency. I like talking about numbers. I like hearing stories from people that have fallen and have risen higher than ever. I love those success stories. I love stories of the underdog. So there'll be a lot of those podcasts that I'll be doing. Usually, you know, if like, the guys that have worked with me in the field, they'll tell you that these are the kind of conversations we've had. You know, I've been a mentor most of my life. I've never called myself a mentor, but one day, like, I was thinking about it, and I said, you know what? I've been a mentor. Because I started thinking about so many people that have crossed my life, and I have had these conversations, like this podcast. I've had conversations like this with them, like man to man. You know, it'll be a young man or it could be an older man. You know, we've had deep conversations. I've had men cry with me, telling me about their life without me asking them. But I just listen. I like to listen. And I like to learn. Unfortunately, I learned the hard way. So there's a lot of these subjects that I talk about. I would like for you guys to tell me what you guys want to talk about or what you guys want me to talk about. Because trust me, whatever you guys bring to the table, I'm going to submerge myself into it. And I'm going to tell you my point of view. Okay, so you take care now. And keep me posted. Let me know what you think about these podcasts. All right? See you soon. So if there's been some kind of imbalance in your life, whether it be a divorce, a breakup, you end up in jail, drug addiction, alcoholism, gambling, some severe stuff that you went through, most likely it comes from neurosis. The stem of it, the root of it, the real root of it all is neurosis. Google neurosis, or I can Google it for you and I'll tell you. That's the root of all evil. That's the root of everything. That's the root of drug addiction, codependency, alcoholism. I mean, everything that's toxic for us. Toxic relationships, there you go. Anything that's toxic for us comes from neurosis. Neurosis, selfishness, and our ego. Once those things are gone, there'll be no more neurosis. That's the simple fix right there. That's the magic bullet. That's the one we're not willing to use. Everything happens at the exact moment, the exact second, millisecond when it's supposed to happen. But that is the result in synchronicity with everything and everyone around you, including that cat that passed in front of you on Tuesday, including the car that cut you off, including the weather, including the waitress that took extra long with your meal, including that phone call you were waiting for, or those extra 5 seconds you saved by making a left. All those things have led you to exactly this precise moment. And even after you're done listening to this audio, even this audio too will be part of your destiny, part of the journey, little things that you hear here and there, or that you learn as you're walking in life. Everything happens exactly on the moment that it happens. From your mistakes to your glories, it all happens exactly when it was supposed to happen. For that is the culminating result in synchronicity with everybody else around you, nature, animals, people, your interactions with people, the extra minute you saved yourself when you put your meal in the microwave for 4 minutes instead of 5 minutes. Because of all those things, you arrived at a certain place at a precise moment, and you were meant to learn certain things in your life.
So if you were, if you had mistakes 5 years ago or 15 years ago, and you know you would not repeat those things in this moment, that was part of your journey back then. That was part of what needed to happen. That was part of your teaching. That was part of your lesson. And guess what? You're done with one mountain, there's another mountain waiting for you. We always have something. So when you get that flat tire, when your check engine light goes on, or when your check doesn't come in the mail, or when your spouse asks you for a divorce, or when you break up with somebody or somebody breaks up with you, don't say, why me? I think the best thing to ask at that point is, what can I learn from this? What is this trying to teach me? Is this trying to teach me self-control? You know, there's a big thing on masculinity and the idea that they taught us growing up. You know, that if you're a masculine figure, if you're manly, if you're macho, that you have to be loud, you have to be obnoxious, and you got to be rude, and you got to be rough and tough and all those things, right? And you got to be loud and you got to fight. Well, you know, let me tell you something. That's what they showed us. In reality, that's feminine energy. It's the yin and the yang, right? It's the masculine and feminine. But if a man argues with a woman, and a woman argues with the man, and they're going at it, what it means is that those energies are off. The man's energy, he's not in control. So when he's arguing, he's taking part in feminine energy. And if the woman is, you know, fighting and engaging in fights with them and being loud and obnoxious, she's not being feminine. Her energies are not balanced either. She's being masculine. And that's what I wanted to tell you guys today. That's one of the things that I had in my mind. A few of the things, I should say. Okay, so if you see a guy that you think he's all tough, or even though this guy's in prison, you know, and God help them, but a lot of these guys that are tough and obnoxious and all loud and all this, you know, they think that because they're loud or because they can punch somebody or commit this crime that it makes them more masculine. That's false. It actually makes them more feminine, because they're not in control. I admire a person that can be in control even when all hell's breaking loose, when all these things are going wrong. The person that's in control, the true alpha, is quiet, is reserved, keeps us cool, and he's already thinking about a solution. He's not engaging in why, complaining, engaging in drama. That's not alpha. Anyways, good people, it's very good talking to you. Hope to see you soon. I'm going to start doing more podcasts. It's been over a year since I've done a podcast in my English podcast. I was able to log in to this account. And it's been over a year. It's been over a year the last time that I recorded something, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so wait for new material, a better sound, and hope to see you guys soon. Hope to engage in more of these podcasts. And if you enjoy them, well, stay tuned, because there's a lot more material that's coming up. See you soon.